Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitsman, and I'm going to be your host of this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special episode in our third installment of 8 Minutes in Eugene, and we're going to get right into it. First, we're going to start off with the negatives, with the false starting rules. We're going to get into the women's 100 and then finish up with the men's shot put. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description, and now back to the video. So first, this false start rule has to change. For those that do not know what the false starting rules are when it comes to the World Championships or when it comes to track and field in general, we have this rule called the 100th rule. And what it states is, it says it's physically impossible for any athlete to be able to react to the gun inside of 1/100th. So that is 0.1. So if you react to anything that is under 0.1, so 0.0 anything, they're saying that it's impossible to do that. And since it's impossible, that means you're not reacting to the gun, but you're rather anticipating the gun. And since you're anticipating it, that counts as a false start. And therefore, you're out of the competition. And this rule stinks. Let's talk about why it stinks today in general, or yesterday in specifically. So yesterday, we saw 3 athletes go down because of this rule. First casualty, we saw Julian Alfred in the 100. She reacts to the gun 0.095. So within 5/1000ths of the gun going off, she reacted and it counted as a false start. And if you look at the tape, you can't tell the difference. It is so freaking close. The next athlete, Tania Gaither, she reacts within 0.093 of the second. So also extraordinarily close. She tried to fight it. Like, she went over to the people, the tape, they look at the tape and she's, you know, trying to protest and then eventually goes off the track. And Julian Alfred, she kind of just accepted it and went off. But both of these women, it was like, what the heck's going on? It's so close. Just let them run. And then the third thing that we saw, and this was really kind of the creme de la creme for many reasons, we saw Devin Allen going down in the final. He reacted 0.099. He was 1/1000th too fast, according to World Athletics. And because of that, he wasn't able to compete. He protested. He was like, no, I didn't false start. I reacted to the gun.
Initially, my first reaction was maybe that Grant next to me was still going in the set because it was a quick gun. Yeah. And he goes in the set a little bit later. So I thought they were just like, hey, so how did go into set when we say set. And so when I was flagged, I was very surprised, which, you know, is also part of the frustration because, you know, I know for a fact I didn't react until I heard the gun, and, you know, to be 1/1000th of, you know, too quick, which I know I'm quick, but, you know, kind of sucks.
But he's not able to compete and he's kicked out, and so we don't get this performance. And what sucks even more about that 1/10 hurdles is just earlier Hansel Parchment goes out because of a tweaked hamstring. They're doing their warm-ups, you know, when they're on the track just going over a few hurdles. He tweaks his hamstring, he's not able to compete. And so that hurdle race went down from being a star-studded race to now we lose Hansel Parchment, and now we lose Devin Allen. And so it was just gutted from us. As fans, we were gutted of it. As athletes that are competing, they're gutted of great competition because all of these people are elite athletes and they're competing at an elite level and they want to go up against the best of the best. You don't want to win championships when people can put asterisks on it. You want to beat the best at their best. You don't want people to be injured. You don't want people to false start. And in this situation, we had both of those things. And so these competitions just got gutted. I feel bad for Devin Allen. I feel bad for Devin Allen because this was where he's running for his father. You know, it's something that was very, very, very important to him. It was very important to the fans. The people were booing as he went off the, you know, went off the track because they didn't allow him to compete. It was just an awful scene. I also feel bad for Grant Holloway too, because he's like, no, I wanted to run against these guys. I had a couple motivations for wanting to go up against the creme de la creme. One, everybody wants to go up against the best of the best so you can beat them and then say, see, there is no, you know, caveats to it. I'm the best. Also, the last three people to beat Grant Holloway since college weren't in this race. Daniel Roberts, he fell over the hurdle in the opening round. He wasn't in this race. Then Hansel Parchment goes down in the finals during the warm-ups. He tweaks his hamstring. Hansel Parchment beat him at last Olympics. Daniel Roberts beat him at SECs back in college. Devin Allen, he isn't able to go here because he runs he reacts to the gun 0.001 too fast. And so if I'm Grant Holloway, I'm also kind of gutted because it's like I wanted to race these guys so I could beat these guys, but he wasn't able to do it. And so it just robs everybody. Everyone leaves this track meet with a bad taste in their mouth, and we need to change the freaking rules because this stinks and nobody deserves this. It's awful. My suggestion is that if you react after the gun, you're good to go. It doesn't matter if it's 0.0001 after the gun. It doesn't matter if it's half a second after the gun. If the gun goes off and then you run, it should be okay. It doesn't matter if you're anticipating it or not. If you want to try to anticipate the gun and then you false start, you're gone. If you want to anticipate the gun, you get a good race, that's fantastic because that's the game you're playing if you're trying to anticipate it. But we don't do that, and we get robbed of these great competitions, and I hate that for it. Next, want to talk about the women's 100-meter dash. And so that was right after the men's 110 hurdles. And Shellyann Fraser-Pryce puts on a show, runs 10.67, which is a world championship record. Shreika Jackson sets a PR, runs 10.73 to get second place. And then Elaine Thompson-Herah rounds out the Jamaican sweep with a time of 10.81. And this is really the order that I thought it was going to be in for the beginning here. Shellyann, Shreika, Elaine. Because Shellyann Fraser-Pryce has been the most consistent athlete running the fastest times this year when it comes to the women's 100. Shreika Jackson was the only woman to beat these people when it came to the championships in Jamaica. And then Elaine Thompson-Herah, she has the 10.5 race, and so she has great speed. Even though she's been inconsistent this year, of course she's going to medal. And then Dina Asher-Smith comes in fourth place with a time of 10.83, which ties the Great Britain national record. And so it was a great race. I mean, Shellyann kind of took dominance from the beginning of this. Like, she was out from the beginning and she maintained that speed and was able to keep it. Elaine just wasn't able to hit that next gear. It was kind of, you know, a pretty fantastic and standard race from what you look at. I mean, like I said, I didn't do too much in depth because I was too busy being angry at what I had just saw with the men's 110s. But Shellyann is like, man, she's definitely the greatest women's sprinter of all time now, I feel. I mean, I was definitely in the camp of having Elaine being up there, but the fact that Shellyann just goes back and gets another world championship here, I mean, man, that's major for her. Like, that means a lot. It stinks that, once again, Elaine had kind of been riddled a little bit with injuries, but overall, she lined up on the line. She was there. You gotta go and race. Next, we have the men's shot put. So just talk about this briefly here. Men's shot put, they go and sweep. Fantastic for the men. So we've now had three sweeps in this competition, both by Jamaica and the United States. We had Ryan Crouser winning with a throw of 22.94, championship record. Joe Kovacs comes in second with a 22.89, and then Josh Awutude throws a 22.29 and a new personal best as well. Just loving these sweeps. Ryan Crouser, he now has every single championship championship you can possibly have. And now I'm wondering what's next for him, because he has every world record. He has every championship medal. He's done everything in the sport of shot put. The only thing he hasn't done is throw 24 meters. So I wonder, is that like the thing that he's trying to do? Because he still has a long ways to go in, with his athletic career, if he wants to, you know, keep going, you know, the standard amount of time. I think he's only in his late 20s here. He's like 28, 29, something like that. So he has a lot of time to be able to compete. My thought is, could he do discus? Could he try hammer? Is he going to do something else? Like, because he's been dominating the sport for so long, I feel like we've got to see you try something else here. Because you're doing everything. You're doing everything. And then want to finish this stuff out with the women's pole vault. So the women's pole vault was fantastic here. Like, we saw Katie Najat come out with a tying the world lead with a 485. Sandy Morris comes in second with also a 485. And then Nina Kennedy sets a season's best with a 480. What's really special here with the Katie Najat win, one, she was coming from a short approach. She was only running from six steps instead of a farther approach. And two, she had said this year had been the toughest year for her. I'm not sure if that's injury, personal, whatever it might be, but she said this year was really tough for her. And so to see her come out and win, defending her, going from the Olympic champion to now the world champion here is massive. And she was, every bar she was clearing, she was just like super excited. And it was very clear that this meant an awful lot to her, and shows if you're friends of the show, you win medals, because Caden Najat, friend of the show, won medals. Trey Cunningham, friend of the show, winning medals. It's just what happens. So if you want to win some medals, you want to go to Worlds, try to get an interview. We might do you well. But that's going to do it from us here. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, let us know what you thought. We're going to wrap it up. Have a good one. Peace.